Ladies, I'm gonna be on a session.
Welcome.
Just so
look at that, Roland. You're already interrupting my show. Welcome to another episode of First Off, Let's Kill All the Lawyers. This is the 2022 version, which frankly feels a lot like 2021 because I'm not sure what has changed. But one thing that hasn't changed is the reason we do this show. I'm David Heffernan. I've been practicing personal injury law in South Florida for about 30 years now. Goal behind the show. It was uttered in the 15th century by Shakespeare. Yes, we can all open to interpretation, but bottom line is people laughed and people still feel like it's a good idea sometimes. Let's kill all the lawyers. My goal is to bring in local South Florida lawyers and lawyers from all around, actually, and maybe one by one educate people on what they do, who they are, and we'll realize just the quality of the lawyers that we've got in this community. And one by one, we can take them off the kill list. My guest this morning is going to be easy to take off the kill list because not only is he a great lawyer, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, but he's one of the most active people I know in the community, Florida bar, a guy who really preaches and lives. Let's give something back. And that's Roland Sanchez Medina. Roland, welcome, my friend.
Thank you, David. Like I said, once again, I apologize for all the technical issues, man.
Like I said, 2022, much like 2021. Okay. we just deal with it. We pivot and we roll. So let's start with you a little bit. Let's talk about why'd you get in? Let's start with law school. Why'd you go to law school? What was the drive, and was it a goal to be a lawyer or further educate? What did you want to do?
Well, you know, it's interesting. We have a typical immigrant story, right? And as an immigrant, the first thing comes to mind is to feed your family, you know. And you know, there are certain professions in the Cuban culture that, you know, are sort of tried and true ways of, you know, feeding your family, right? There's accountants, doctors, lawyers, and that was sort of, I was ushered in that way. And then by the time I finished at the University of Miami, like you did, it just seemed to be the natural course and the natural next step for me in terms of vocation.
All right. And the vocation you were starting on was as a tax lawyer, which I guess if you want security, because taxes are going to be around forever. But you start in the world of tax. What was that appeal? And then let's talk about how you sort of shifted off that a little bit.
I really... You're a litigator, David, you know, I mean, you worry about things like evidence and other stuff and things of that nature, pleadings, and I just had zero interest in any of that. In fact, if I had to do what you do, I don't know that I'd still be practicing law.
Well, don't worry, because if I had to do tax, I'd have hung myself a long time ago.
That's exactly right. Very similar. And so it's really, I really gravitated towards that in law school. It's the only thing that I really liked was the corporate classes, the secured transactions, the tax courses. My undergraduate degrees in finance and economics, and so it seemed to be, once again, really the thing that I liked the most as I was trying to get my JD.
All right, so you come out, you start kind of that big firm track. I think with national firms and everything else, kind of get your feet wet, I'm sure, and get that experience. Then you decide to do, I guess, the great American dream that we all have. You know, start your own firm. Tell me about that, and how is it you got this group of friends together and decided to take that leap?
You know, I spent about 15 or 16 years at, you know, large firms, Holland & Knight, McDermott Will & Emery, where I became a partner. And, you know, I had given it 15 years and still wasn't particularly happy in day in and day out basis. Nothing against the big firms. It was just sort of, you know, the things that I liked the most, and maybe it was a little bit more entrepreneurial. And because of that, I just decided that after 15 years, you learn a thing or two,
right?
just by showing up. Right. It wasn't an easy decision. The decision to leave sort of a nice certain paycheck, is not for everybody. Frankly, for me, it made all the difference in the world. Being able to do my own thing, work with the people I want to work with. The practice of law can be tedious. It's certainly, the intensity of it is relentless. Sort of choose the people that I'm going to be working with, the kind of stuff that I would be doing really, for me, made all the difference in the world in terms of providing some happiness. And because of that, I decided to start my own firm.
So you start and you've got a collective group of friends. How was it decided this is going to be the group?
Happenstance, one of them is Peter Gonzalez, who's a commercial litigator. Peter and I were in addition to being law partners, we're very good friends, very similar in very ways. There's another lawyer, Pablo Quesada, that the three of us really started, you know, what is now SMGQ, the Sanchez and Medina, obviously S&M, the G is Gonzalez, and the Q is Quesada. And Pablo's wife, Emilia Quesada, is also a partner. And so she, part of the Q, really is obviously is her surname as well, too. And so it was people that I liked. They all came from big firms as well. As much as, you know, we big firms get criticism, the truth of the matter is, especially for, you know, what I do, transactional law, you know, there's no better place to get that experience. You know, so the first few years, first 5, 6, 7 years, I mean, I was working, you know, not even in tens of millions, but hundreds of millions of dollars of transactions. And so, I wouldn't have got that experience anywhere else. And so from that, in that regard, you know, I call them, 15 years at a big firm, you know, seems like 45 years.
Right. Yeah. You should get a gold watch and some other things on your way out at that point.
Right. So
build actually 45 years of work. So it's the same thing.
No. I mean, if you look at the timesheet, that's correct. The numbers add up to about 45 years. But it was just, it was time. Like, I mean, if I was ever going to do it after about 15 years, it was just, it was opportune. And, like, you know, lawyers, you know this, we're risk averse generally. And so it was either do it now or never do it. And like I said, I had a couple friends, Pablo and Peter, that really made the decision significantly easier in order for me to take that step.
So tell me about the firm now. I mean, because you pretty broad what you do. I mean, you've sort of got this boutique firm, but you offer a lot of the services that the big firms offer. And tell me about sort of the practices that are there and what's the philosophy behind your firm?
At our firm, you know, we've been growing just by finding lawyers that we like personally, but also they have, you know, that there's two requirements. You have to be a good person, you gotta be a good lawyer, right? And so we have a wide array of services. You know, we have Leslie Ziegel, who's, you know, one of the best entertainment lawyers in the Southeast. We have David Pena, who's an immigration attorney. You know, we obviously have commercial litigators, Peter Gonzalez and Emmy Quesada, and, Mitch Mandler. I mean, Carlos Garcia Perez. I mean, we can offer a whole team of litigators. We have transactional guys, Joe Gomez, who was a partner at David Boyce's firm at, Boyce Schiller. Thank you very much. It made a lot of sense to, if you're going to pick up lawyers in different practice groups, right? And so it did, you know, do we really need another corporate lawyer, real estate lawyer? No, we really don't. You know, we do need a good entertainment lawyer, good immigration lawyer, good healthcare attorney. And so from our perspective, once we sort of got the basics, like I said, transactional and litigation, it became important to pick up little groups, tax lawyers, estate planning attorneys. And that's really how the growth comes. But if any of the sort of core group and there's six of us approximately, if you don't like them or you had issues with that particular attorney, then, you know, we're not even having that conversation. Right. And so it really is, there's not a lot of administration in our firm. I mean, we've been at big firms where there's multiple layers of administration. We literally have one. Right. And so,
it's nice when six guys can sit down behind the door and go, look, we're going to agree on this one way or the other, you know?
And like I said, from the perspective of growth, literally, you know, one nay is all that needs to happen to nick somebody. And so, David, we spend so much time in the office. And so the people around you just have to have a certain friendship and confidence and trust. And if you don't have that in the people to your left and to your right, then it can make work already which is, like, you know, as we discussed, pretty tough. I mean, makes it even, it aggravates everything, frankly.
Well, I've noticed one of the things, and I was looking at stuff on your firm, is yes, while you're sort of this boutique firm, it hasn't limited you to South Florida. I see that you do transactions, Latin America, and all of these other countries. So kind of talk about the evolution of how you continue to grow that aspect of the practice.
Well, I think that's really client-based, right? And so we have clients. The nice thing about the nice, even though, I don't know, I think we're at 28 lawyers, it's a pretty decent size. And, you know, our roster of clients, you know, I'm knocking on wood, is wide and varied. And so if we have clients that are doing deals in, you know, I'm working on a deal in Chile, in Santiago, Chile, because it's a Chilean group that's making an investment, you know, we'll do that. And so it really, what really gave birth to that was some nice clients who have very expansive business relationships and do business all over the United States and frankly in South America. And it's and a little bit in Europe too. I mean, we had a client who's based in Belgium, was here for a couple of weeks, and we did a lot of the stuff that he needed to be done, you know, that like anybody else, nobody's been traveling, but now it's starting to pick up again, and you see more and more of the work, the national work and international work.
That's fantastic. I've always respected you as a lawyer, a lot of admiration for what you and your firm do, but I want to pivot for a minute and talk about, I think, one of the things that has really struck me about you over the years is you're giving back in two ways. You're very, very actively involved in the Florida Bar, Board of Governors and other organizations throughout that. And you're very involved in the community. And I think I see that sort of throughout your firm. So let's talk a little bit about that. Why is it important for you to be so proactive in the Florida Bar and sort of help with all lawyers?
Well, I mean, I'll promote a couple of both of our high schools, Belen Jesuit Prep and Christopher Columbus High School. I mean, there are schools, and maybe you don't realize it as a younger man, but there are schools that really preach giving back to the community. Right. And, you know, like I said, you know, Belen and Columbus have a little rivalry, although it's, you know, not really a rivalry in football.
As I've said, until you beat us, it can't be a rivalry. But
right. Let's get that out of the way.
Obviously, we've got lots of mutual friends, and as much as there's fun jostling back and forth, there is a ton of mutual respect between Columbus and Belen.
That's correct. And like I said, I have a lot of Columbus clients, and it's important to them get to give back to the community. And like I said, I've always believed that that's something that's really preached by the kind of schools that we've gone to, the religious background. I mean, they, you know, like I said, whether you're paying attention or not, it's incumbent upon their students to give back to the community. And, you know, as you said, that just becomes part of your DNA. And I really enjoyed it. I started out in the with bar stuff in the Cuban American Bar Association, where I was president. And that organization really helped me. I mean, I'll tell you, it helped me grow as a person, as a lawyer. You know, you become president of the Cuban American Bar Association in Miami, you know, you got to raise your game, you know, and so,
it's not a little tiny organization.
And I found that I really enjoyed it, and it gave me an opportunity to, I'm a big fan of lawyers. I mean, the name of the show, and, you know, obviously lawyers, get a lot of criticism. Some of it, deserved, much of it, not, in my opinion. I love, you know, lawyers, they give back to the community. They contribute to causes. I mean, they make sure things are done well and done correctly. And so I'm a big fan of lawyers, and it gave me opportunity to interact with more lawyers. And so after the Cuban American Bar Association, it just happened to be an opening in the Board of Governors of the Florida Bar. And I joined the organization, and, you know, and because I'm an ambitious, you know, I'm, you know, when I was younger, maybe more ambitious, but, you know, I guess still ambitious. And so I enjoyed the work. I mean, the thought that you make life a little bit easier for lawyers, you know, that was attractive to me. And so the Florida and the Board of Governors, I mean, it's just an amazing group of people. 53 people from across the state that are typically very well accomplished lawyers, but also, you know, it's important for them to give back to the community. It's important for them to try to, like I said, make lives, make the professional lives of lawyers better. You know, health and wellness is a big issue obviously Four Lawyers has been for several years now. Obviously the pandemic, really aggravated the situation. And so, we're trying to make efforts to do what we can to make the daily life of a lawyer much easier. And the people are just phenomenal. And I deal quite a bit, obviously, with the staff, the Florida Bar staff in Tallahassee, the executive director, a guy named Josh Doyle. And I mean, he's really one of the best people that I've ever met. Just a fantastic guy, smart. I truly enjoy working with Josh and his team of people. Like I said, I don't know that I know anybody better. And so the whole staff at the Florida Bar is just fantastic. They're professional. They're good people. The Florida Bar is actually, is one of the leading bars in the United States of America.
Right.
I mean, not only in size, obviously, but in terms of projects and cutting edge stuff. And the executive director of the Florida Bar is one of the most respected, if not the most respected, executive director of a bar organization in the United States. So, like I said, it's a lot of work, and some people think it's a little bit of a boondoggle, but it's not. I mean, we sort of pay for everything, and so it's not for everybody, because it can be expensive traveling across the state for the meetings and taking time away from your practice and from your families. But so I really enjoyed it. I've been fortunate to be able to be a part of it.
Well, I'm grateful as a lawyer to have people like you on that board of governors, because we've seen it personally and through other friends. The stress of being a lawyer is hard enough, and now you add the pandemic, which has impacted everybody, obviously. But being isolated, I think you're seeing levels of depression and the whole aspect of kind of working together to get through this as a legal profession and as a community, I think is extraordinarily important.
And, and the thing is, lawyers need to, no one likes to see their lawyer other than being Superman or Superwoman, right? And the truth of the matter is, I mean, we're not. I mean, we that's not something we can maintain 24/7. And so, lawyers in particular have to show, strength and courage and passion and, fill in the blanks. And we're obviously still human beings. But, we can never show any weakness. We can never show that we're tired, that, we're stressed out, et cetera, as the case may be. And the pandemic has only aggravated those situations, because in the middle of this, like I said, just bizarre, horrible situation, you, David Heffernan, and you still got to carry the same caseload. You still have to resolve all our problems. You still have to respond to all our calls and respond to all your emails and deadlines, et cetera, et cetera. And I mean, you're only human, David. I mean, there's only so much you can do. And the pandemic is really been a difficult time, I think, for lawyers in many different levels. But I think, frankly, 2022 is going to be a great year for all lawyers. And I think we're going to finally get to some level of, whatever normal is going to be. But I think it's on the cusp. I'm hoping by the end of January, the sort of variant's gotten, we're past it and beyond it. It's, we don't have 50% of the office out of, people out of the office because they have the new variant. So, but I'm really optimistic that, things are sort of stabilizing a little bit for lawyers.
God, let's hope so, because I think you could have said the same thing last year at the same time. But let's hope we're heading there. You talk about passion quickly. One of the other things I know you're passionate about, and obviously it shows, and we cross over on some of these things, but not only the legal community, you're passionate about South Florida and giving back to South Florida. And I think, again, I see that echoed throughout your firm of what your partners do and what you do. But, we're on the Orange Bowl committee together. I see you're on the school board, Chamber of Commerce, okay? All of these type things. So why is it important for you to give back to South Florida in a non-legal basis?
I have children, right? And the more I invest in South Florida, the more the better place that it becomes. The more likely my children stay here, my friends stay here, my family stays here. I mean, we're invested in Miami. I'm not going to be going anywhere. I mean, this place it's a special place. And I really do believe that with all my heart. And, things like the Orange Bowl Committee gives me an opportunity, although we're litigator, I would normally normally not run into you, but through the Orange Bowl community, I get to spend some time with David Heffernan and catch up, do a little bit of good in the community, showcase South Florida for what a wonderful area it is. And I mean, I couldn't think of doing anything else but that as part of my DNA, you know, just waking up. Although, and you can attest to that, it's not easy. I mean, right. You know, you're juggling a lot of balls. I mean, you've been on the Orange Bowl committee longer than I have, and you've been a stalwart in that. And, you know, your name carries significant credibility and with the Orange Bowl committee. And like I said, I admire what you did, what you still do for the Orange Bowl committee. And I mean, I love it. It's the same thing as the Florida Bar, by the way, David. It gives me, you know, it gives me opportunity to work with people like you, right? I mean, that's, you know, work can be a grind, but working in the Orange Bowl committee, people meeting people like you, they're as passionate about South Florida, want to do some good, and at the same time, you know, have a little bit of fun. I mean, you know, it doesn't get any better than that.
Good stuff. Good stuff for sure. We got a few minutes left, and I want to talk about one last thing that we could do an entire show and multiple shows about, but that I know is a passion of yours, passion of your firm's. It's also with the Orange Bowl, but diversity. I know it's extraordinarily important to you that your firm and your clientele and everything represent the people of what South Florida looks like, what South Florida is. And the legal profession's one that, trust me, I mean, I'm an old white guy. So, you know, we were the face of it, but to see that change. And again, not just as it goes organically, but being proactive to say, we're going to make sure that we're getting the quality people that represent what South Florida is. So why is diversity so important to you and your firm?
Let me say this though. David Heffernan is part of the solution. Okay. Not part of the problem. I mean, you know, you said you're obviously a white man, but David Heffernan is part, you know, is part of the solution. I mean, the way you think, your contributions, I mean, like I said, I wish everyone was like David Heffernan. You know, I mean, listen, people need to be engaged, and it just can't be sort of the same kind of person being engaged. You know, the other day I walked through the Miami-Dade County Bar Association, and then the first 30 or 40 pictures were just white men, right?
Right.
And so, from my perspective, and it's really unique because, you know, Miami needs to be among the most diverse places.
Exactly. I mean,
on a law perspective, a business perspective, every perspective, because we are such a diverse community. And, it lets people know that there are opportunities. You know, lets, you know, I was born in Cuba. I mean, so, I mean, I'm so grateful for this country, for everything that it's done for me. But it's, you know, when someone like me can get on the board of governors, can, you know, maybe one day, if, you know, if all things work out well, become president of the Florida Bar, it lets people know that, hey man, even though there's not, let's say, a natural road for me to get to the top, there is an opportunity if you work hard, if you stay engaged, if you're authentic. And I always tell people, you know, be who they are. And so I think it's important for people to know of every gender, of every race, of every ethnicity, that, you know, every opportunity to be as the president, the chairman, on the committee and the board of governors, on the Orange Bowl committee, for them to know that, I think it's a great message for that we send to the community to be involved, to be engaged, you can do some good in the community, and you can be a leader in the process. And I think that's important. And frankly, I think South Florida has really matured and evolved in a wonderful way. In so many different, I mean, like, I think you see that on the bench, right? I mean, it used to be many years that, you know, if you had a Z in your surname, that you'd get elected. But I really believe that the community has evolved, that, the best person will win, the person that gets their message out for judicial races, for example. It's not just a Hispanic surname is going to be the winner of a judicial election. So I think that diversity, like I said, it just helps our community entirely, and it is important. And like I said, all the organizations that we're involved in, it's extremely important for all those organizations as well, too.
Well, I'm ready and I'm flexible because I do a lot of cycling, and there's a ride in Orlando called Tour de Latino, and it supports Latino community businesses and everything else. So the guys that I ride with, many of them are Hispanic, and I jokingly said with them, well, is it going to be okay if I ride in that? They said, yeah, just register as David Heffernandez. So I've got an alias I can go by just in case I need it.
Yeah.
But here's the simple thing. You clearly have my vote if and when you run for Florida, president of Florida Bar. I think you do an outstanding job. And I think you've got the vote of all our viewers that we can take you off the kill list. Roland Sanchez Medina, phenomenal lawyer, great firm. But more importantly, better human being, guy that cares about South Florida, cares about this community. More importantly, I'm glad somebody I can call my friend. Roland, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, David. And the opportunity, I feel honored for this opportunity to be on your show, man. Thank you very much.
Well, I appreciate it. We'll see you soon. And that's it for this episode of First Off, Let's Kill All the Lawyers. We'll see you guys next week.